The following is a product of the Uprising High School Ministry at the Grove.
So, hey, we're going to continue this series called Amazed, where we're looking at these miracles that Jesus did in the Bible. Today is a little bit different. What's cool, though, is if you were here Wednesday, I'm going to be in the same passage, like section of Scripture. I was at the end of Luke 6. I ended with the parable of the unshakable, right, person where you build your house on solid ground or just on the top layer of dirt, and if you do that, you get thrown away. Well, right after that, this is next thing, starts chapter 7, and that's where we're going to kind of be today. And what we're amazed with today, specifically, or what we're looking at that's amazing, is Jesus is the one who's amazed today. All right. Last week we looked at like people are amazed by what he does. This week he's amazed, right? God is the one who gets who we're looking at being amazed by the people around him. So here's my question to you. How amazing is your faith? How amazing is your faith? Think about that. I mean, first you kind of have to have some sort of concept or definition of faith, right? What is that? Like, what is faith? And you could quote Hebrews if you want, or you can just give me your own version, or you can all stare at me and make me feel awkward. And yeah, what? Believing. Okay, faith is believing in the tooth fairy, right? No. What is faith? What if someone, if you're to tell someone you have faith and they're like, what does that mean? Yes, joy. Thank you. Believing without seeing. Thank you. One of my favorite movies ever from my childhood is The Santa Claus. All right? Have you ever seen that? Tim Allen. He's like super fat and like fireplaces appear. And it was just, it made me believe in Santa longer than I should, like up to middle school. And even when Santa Claus gave me a boombox and there was a receipt inside. Yes, boombox. And there was a receipt inside with my mom's signature. I was still like, Santa made my mom pay for this gift. Are you, what a cheapskate. Gosh. You know, and I still like wanted, but because you don't want to let go of that. But there's real things to believe in, not just some guy who was real and died a long time ago. And we still pretend that he robs us from cookies. So we have faith. We have faith in things that we believe exist, even though we don't necessarily see. Right, we know something will happen, even though we don't yet see it happening. Right, or you know that the chair you're sitting in will hold you. Right, maybe, possibly, you never know. It could break. These are church chairs. You know, we got a low budget here because people. So yeah, just be careful. I've broken at least 500 things I've sat in. That couch, actually, where you're sitting, was broken once already. So, like, just be prepared. If you sink or anything like that, just act cool and you got no problems. It'll be all right. I honestly don't know who fixed it or how it got fixed, but I saw that it was fixed. I'm like, hey, I'm putting it out there. And you're sitting in the exact spot. That's perfect. It's almost like we planned it. So we have, I think some of us would like to think that our faith is pretty amazing. In other words, no matter what, no matter where we're at in life or what life's throwing at us, we won't, tying into last week, right, or on Wednesday night, we won't be shaken, right, because we're firm in Christ. We're firm in our faith, in our belief in him, that no matter what storms come this way, we won't be shaken, and therefore we have some amazing faith. Although I think sometimes when we live out our faith, we have, I like sports. I like to think I'm athletic, and I don't do anything athletic anymore. Besides like try to chase my daughter around, like that's about it. That's about as athletic as it gets now. You know, like if she's gonna like throw up, like I can hop the couch real quick, you know, hurdle the couch and like somehow not destroy her in the process and catch that puke. That's the extent of my athleticism in my life now. Or if you're at broomball, I did score probably the most goals each time I was on a team. So just next time we play broomball, you're probably gonna want me on your team. I won't be able to walk. I got bruises everywhere that have like slowly appeared over the last week. I don't know why they're all down here, but people were hacking at me trying to take me out. So I got totally distracted with that thought process. So we have amazing faith, sports, athleticism, that's right. So top 10, ESPN does this thing called top 10. And they do it basically every single day, and then they'll do one for the week. And they also have something called the Not Top 10, all right? I think I have a top play. Nick, play the shorter video. It's like 30 seconds or something like that. So this is a top 10 video from a high school soccer. He does a bicycle kick, and then this guy does a bicycle kick, and then they score. And everybody's just like, all right, let's walk off the field. They got to give him the game because that's ridiculous right there. I can't find on YouTube a whole segment of the top 10 anywhere. But Not Top 10, there's like a whole lot of them. So go ahead and play the Not Top 10. It's a longer.
That's your bluffing, and that was your tactic.
I'm only doing the top five.
You got three defense, like everything. Corey Brewer.
You know.
Remarkable game last night.
That's a loss. So yeah, that's real. Look at that. Bam.
Well.
This is the Not Top 10, in case you're like, why is that on top?
So
this is the you did not do a good job. Look at that.
Pickoff attempt at second, Shelby Miller's throw.
They'll be in the World Series this year.
But there's nobody on second, so it really had nowhere to go but the outfield.
All right, have we discovered at number three who this fella is?
I like the music they play in the background, I guess the circus. Turn it up a little.
Patrice Evra, the ball.
Brandon.
You think it's someone who stole the official-looking bib?
Or not. Look at, yeah, I gotta know.
He's like arguing with the player too. Like,
how awesome would it be if someone just popped up and started doing a puppet show?
Isn't the ball boy's sole job to give the ball?
That's what I thought.
That's why you're the ball boy.
We need to get investigative journalism on that.
Giants Reds Tim Lincecum on the mound. He's usually really good. Trips and falls.
He just said bananas.
But you brought this up, and you're totally right. Falling down, he's still I mean, it's outside, but he still gets it. You know, gets there.
I haven't watched these yet, so hopefully it's good.
Omar Infante, great effort. The execution.
That guy makes $1 million a year, just so you know. Feel good about yourself and your fast food job.
All
right, I think that's it. You can just end it. So here's what this teaches us. The things that amaze us are the things that are unexpected. Whether it's like amazing, like wow, like incredible, unexpected, or there's like, are you kidding me? Unexpected, right? There's the like, are you kidding? And can you believe this? Are you kidding is the Not Top 10. The can you believe this would be the top 10. The are you kidding me, like the Not Top 10 moments of our life. For me, that's like all of 7th and 8th grade. Just awful, like amazing 8th grade, junior high for me, 7th grade, it was included in that, I think. And all of that combined for me is an are you kidding me experience for my life, because it's awful. It's literally a place of hell on earth, junior high. I mean, it really, really is. It's evil. People are evil. We like think the most evil and do the most evil things that probably will most of us will do in our life. Some of us will go on and continue to be morons. It's true. But for the most part, junior high is where we do the stupidest things, think the stupidest things, care about the dumbest things out there, right? We like dress the weirdest ways, and that's like what sets trends and stuff. So it's for me, that was the are you kidding? The Not Top 10. And then you have like the amazing, like, can you believe this? Just when things happen in your life that are just incredible, like too good to be true. Like you're living this dream. Just it's amazing. What's interesting today is we're gonna see Jesus be described as amazed. And he is amazed both in the are you kidding me and the can you believe this sense. And so to kind of like feed off of the first question, how amazing is your faith? It's almost a trick question because your faith is probably amazing either way, right? It's amazingly awesome or amazingly like, are you kidding me? Like, really? That like you think like that's your belief? That's the extent of your faith in your life? And so we're going to be, again, in Luke 7. And so I would say that there's, like, amazing faith, which is, like, I'm going to use amazing faith as negative. And then over here as, like, the truly, like, awesome, amazing faith. I mean, and this is me trying to, like, relate to you. And this is not a word I use. And when I hear it, I just think it's ridiculous. And that's just a reminder that I'm getting old. But I'm still in my 20s, so I'm going to say it. Over here, you have savage faith, all right? And hashtag that, do whatever you want with it, all right? All right, here's what I know about savage. It could be a negative thing, or it really could just mean, like, incredibly awesome, ridiculous, I think one description is BAMF, and I won't say that acronym out loud. But I mean, I said the acronym out loud. I won't, like, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Right? That's one description. And I think that that's the truth is, like, man, this guy's faith, like, he's got savage faith. Like, he's I'm not going to say it. I almost did. And then this guy over here, like, his faith is amazing, but let's make this one a girl. Actually, only because girls tend to have more amazing faith. So just for this, you know, sake of the talk, I'll let the guys have more amazing faith today. And you girls suck. I can only say it because it's not true. Kind of like, never mind. No, I have a filter. The Holy Spirit is working in me today. Unlike Wednesdays. Usually not so much on Wednesdays. I don't know what's going on there. But more of you pray for me on Sundays, apparently. It's the prayer wall. Luke 7. So let's look at this faith, all right? So this is right after he just talks about being unshakable in life, okay? When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. Now, see, there was a centurion servant, which is a general, Roman general, whom his master valued highly and was sick and was about to die. So you have this Roman general's servant that he cares a lot about, says he values him highly. I don't know if that just means, like, he makes really good pasta, or he's, like, the best field plower, or gives good back rubs. I'm not sure what kind of servant he was, but he was a servant, and he valued him, and he's sick, and he's about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus. So he's heard of Jesus. He's never met him. He's never seen him, but he's heard about him. He's heard that there's this guy out there that can do amazing things, that can heal sick, any disease, that he's helping blind people to see, right? All this amazing stuff. He's heard of Jesus, and he sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. What's interesting there is you have this Roman general who has this servant who cares about this servant, and he knows that there's this Jewish guy walking around out there that's doing some pretty incredible stuff. So he grabs some other Jews that he cares about because he helped to build them a place to come and meet and hang out and worship their God together, right, and have community. And so he cares about them, and he knows this whole Jewish culture, and he kind of cares about this Jewish culture, and clearly maybe even has a little bit of faith in God as a Roman, right? And he sends these elders, and these elders are like, listen, this guy deserves this. You need to help him out. And it says that, so Jesus went with him in verse 6. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself," sorry, I just kind of pictured, like, why does no one think this way about me? Why does no one, like, when I'm coming to their house, like, send a friend outside? No. Don't come in. We are not worthy. I got a lot of graduation invites. This is how I want to be greeted when I come to your graduation party, okay? Send someone out ahead of time. Like, you can't come in. You're too amazing. Like, our party is not good enough for you. Here, let us bring the food to you. And would you like a drink, a beverage? How many ice cubes? I would like 4.5, okay? Because the half one melts just enough so it's not too sweet of a lemonade, and then the 4 keep it cold longer, all right? So just so you know, that's what I want. Okay. Thanks, Brad. That would just be so awesome. What if we just, sorry. Okay, focus. All right. I don't consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great or savage faith even in Israel. That's the teen version. Then he looked to the men who had been sent, and they returned to the house and found the servant well. I think what's amazing about this man's faith is not just that he thought, man, Jesus doesn't need to be in this room to heal this guy. He doesn't need to touch him to heal this guy. Like, I know if everything I've heard about this Jesus is true, he just has to say it. Like, I'm a leader too, and I'm a general, and I have authority, and like, I don't need to be there to tell someone to do something, right? I can send a message, and that person will do it as a leader. And so I relate to you, Jesus. You're a leader, and I know that you have authority, a crazy authority, and that you don't have to be in this room to make happen what you want to have happen. But I think what's truly amazing is not just the faith of Jesus doesn't need to be here, but the faith of I don't deserve to be near you. Because I think what that shows is that he has faith that this Jesus is more than just some guy who's like a really, really good doctor and a really, really good teacher, but that he is God in the flesh. Because he says, I don't deserve to be in your presence. In other words, I'm messed up. I'm fallen. I suck. Like, I'm not good. I fall well short of the glory of God. And that is you. Like, I cannot be near you. Like, I don't deserve to be near you. But could you please, for the sake of my servant, heal him? I don't need anything for me. I just want this guy to live. And I know you don't need to be in my house for that. I don't deserve to have you in my house because my house is a mess. My life is a mess. It doesn't say if they ever met or talked or anything like that after. It just says that the servants or his friends went back and they found the servant well. But it's amazing, and this is probably a word I'll use a lot, but it really, really is amazing to see that Jesus, God, was amazed by this guy. What it shows me is that we don't have to be the Jewish leader, right? Or we don't have to be the pastor, or we don't have to be this person who's like at this prayer wall, you know, 24/7, like praying for people and offering up prayers and reaching out and doing all this stuff. Like, all we have to do is just have faith for God to come into our life, for God to show up in our life. And even more than that, for God to be amazed with our life, for God to be amazed with our faith. You see, just believing in him and who he is amazes him. It amazes him. And what's crazy is he looks to everyone around him, like the people who've studied God's word, right? Who have had the closest, most intimate relationship with God as a people group throughout history, because God was strict with them and made sure that if all the people in the world, that their culture would always remain close to him, right? He was the harshest with them, but the most gracious with them as well. And he says, even amongst those people, I haven't found faith like this. I haven't seen someone live like this. What that tells me is you might be someone in this room that feels like, man, your life's falling apart, like you're nowhere near God. You're as far from God as possible. But maybe you still believe. And you believe in who he is. And you believe that he is your Lord and Savior, and that he's the only reason that you have hope after this life. Here's what I know, that God looks at you and he's amazed, because he does that with this centurion, because this guy's faith is savage. Jesus was so amazed. Now, the other time Jesus is amazed is in Mark 6. And I think sometimes this is probably where I find myself sometimes, usually in bed at night, just sort of wrestling with like doubts and questions and just difficult times in life. still believing in God, but just having a hard time. What does this relationship look like lived out with where I'm at in life right now? Mark 6, 1 through 6. Jesus left there and he went to his hometown. So he's going back home, right? Where he grew up, where he went to kindergarten, where he got potty trained, where he lost his first tooth, where he went to elementary school, right? Where he, you know, hammered his first nail or whatever. I don't know. He's a carpenter, so he built stuff. Right? Where he had all of these firsts in his life. He goes back home, and with him are his disciples. Mark 6, verse 2. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they ask? What's this wisdom that has been given to him? Like, how did this guy get so smart? Because, like, I grew up with him, and, like, he wasn't that smart. Like, I mean, he wasn't any smarter than the rest of us. Where are these words coming from? Where is this knowledge coming from? Like, what university did he go to, right? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Like, isn't this guy just the construction worker is what they're saying? Like this guy, he's not anything. He's just a blue-collar guy. Like, his family, they're just construction workers. Hard hat wearing, you know, deodorant stinking up, out in the sun, building stuff, bleeding, you know, busted up, tan and dirty and gross construction worker. And he's in the synagogue. Teaching, doing miracles with wisdom that just doesn't even make sense how he got it. Then it says, isn't this just Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Like, almost as if, like, he's coming back and trying to show, this is how they took it, right? Like, he's coming back trying to show, like, I'm better than you. Look what I have achieved, right? They took him performing miracles and offering the gospel, right, this good news as, like, I'm better than you. You suck. How many of us, when we first hear about Christ and hear about Jesus, we just kind of feel like, who do you think you are telling me about this Jesus guy? You think you're better than me? Like, I don't need that. I'm fine. I mean, I'm not perfect, but no one is, right? We're all human. That doesn't mean that I need to believe in this thing, this lifestyle. Like, who do you think you are? Like, you're better than me. And Jesus says to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. And so it's interesting. These are the only two times that it's recorded, right, that we know where Jesus is described as having this feeling of amazement. You have the one story where he's amazed that this guy would believe that he is the Son of Man and could do anything he says. And then here you have these people who are Jews that he grew up with, and they're seeing him do these miracles. Right? This other guy just heard about it. These people are seeing it and not believing because they're caught up in their own pride. I don't need that. Who does he think he is? I think maybe too, you have to remember, Nazareth was sort of the town that kind of people viewed as a little bit scummy. Like, nothing really good ever comes from Nazareth. Like, it's Nazareth, like, you know, it's Casa Grande. Nothing good comes from there. Is anybody from Scott? Scott's a farmer out there, my man. Do you live out there? Is that where your house is? Yeah, they see you're fine. That's actually a little bit worse. It's all right, though. But you're here. That's all that matters. You're one of the few good miracles. That's what that is. No, but there's nothing good that comes out of Nazareth. And Jesus is amazed by their lack of faith. In other words, these people, they're in the not top 10. I have authority problems. I struggle with authority. If someone tries to tell me to do something, my gut reaction, like, literally is like, no, I don't want to. And maybe it's something I want to do, but because you asked me and you're an authority, I don't want to. Like, just my gut, it's my struggle. It's in my character, it's in my person, it's who I am, it's something I know and that I work on, you know, but I struggle with authority. I don't like to just agree. I'd rather disagree and disrupt and handle. I tend to handle things badly. And so I think that that's kind of where these people are at. When our faith isn't amazing, we kind of disagree. We find ourselves disruptive with God in our lives and struggle to believe. But I think sometimes it's hard to believe. Sometimes we experience things in life that just cause us to really struggle. Like, God, what are you doing? How is this in your will? How is this in your plan? Wednesday night, right as we were getting started here, my cousin died. He's 28 years old. He's a year younger than me. My wife finally got to meet him for the first time, him and his wife and two little kids, this past Christmas. But he was in a head-on collision in back in California on the freeway, a big flatbed semi with like tractor on it and a forklift on the back. The trailer blew a tire or something, and that truck plowed through the median. He was in the carpool lane, no seatbelt, took him head on. He died. The forklift fell off, took out like 9 other cars. As far as I know, everyone else survived. They closed the freeways, 57 South. It's like crazy busy freeway, shut down for 15 hours during the morning commute, traffic everywhere. But I didn't find out until early. I mean, I got a text like 3 a.m, but I didn't see it till I woke up. And I kind of ignored it all day. I kind of just avoided thinking about it because I had work to do. And I just sometimes too, until you start to really process it, it doesn't feel real until you see the story or the person. It doesn't feel real. And all I was able to think about was his wife and his 5-year-old son and 3-year-old girl. And how do you explain to them that there's this loving God who would die for them so they could have eternal life? And help them to understand that somehow, in some way, their dad dying the way he did somehow still fits into God's will. How do you explain that? Because I began to think, like, what if it's me? How does my wife explain that to my daughter and son/daughter, we don't know, in her womb? You know? And it's difficult. But I think when we go back to this story of the centurion's savage faith, when he sends his friends, he makes this request. He says, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. He knows that Jesus can heal his servant. He also knows that he might not. And I think that faith and believing in God is, I mean, the word faith and belief more literally translates to trust. And I think too often we don't trust. We try to go through this life with our eyes open, seeing and understanding the world around us through our eyes, right? I'm only 29. And you guys are like, that's old, you know? For you, yeah, that's old. But I mean, we try to comprehend the world with like zero life experience. None. God is eternal. I can't tell you how many times I've gone through something in life, thought it should go one way, didn't get my way, someone older got their way, and it turned out their way was the right way, even though it didn't make sense to me. You see, we try too often to comprehend life through our eyes and through our experience, but true trust is just holding his hand with our eyes shut and letting him lead us. And if we stub a toe, trusting that for some reason God let us hit that. That he understands. Because maybe over here there was a pit that we would have fallen in. See, trust, true belief, amazing faith is faith that just says, I don't know why, but I don't think I ever will. We get so caught up with the why stuff happens and don't get an answer to that we just dismiss the how. And the how is him. How we get eternal life is through him. How we have peace during times that just don't make sense is through him. And so I think that we should consider ourselves truly blessed if we can be in these times of life and have God look at us and be amazed and just hold his hands and trust him. It's easy to trust God when people are getting healed and being kept from dying around us. It's easy to trust God when people survive amazing accidents that they probably shouldn't have. But what about when they don't? We're all gonna die. Why is it when it's not how we think it should happen that we begin to be upset with God? See, God's upset with all death. That's why he died and defeated death so that he could raise us up to live forever. And so I think for me, how I try to comprehend and deal with death specifically is not the why did it happen, but how might we be raised in eternal glory without sin? And it's because of him. It still sucks and it's still painful, but we're all going to die. And I just don't want to get caught up in the why, but just praise God for the how. And do my best to live this life just blindly, not needing to see the miracles, but know that they can happen. And because of that, sometimes seeing them, and also sometimes not. And so I would hope that you have savage faith, that you have faith that amazes God, because no matter what, you believe in who he is, and that he redeems, and that he will bring us all back from the dead. Because we're all going to die. And that you wouldn't get caught up with amazing faith that's dismal, that's on the not top 10, that gets caught up with why. Let me pray, and we'll end with some worship and praising God and just be grateful for how amazing he is and that we can trust him and know that we will live eternally because of him. Let's pray and worship together. God, just thank you so much for taking care of the how. God, I got to be honest, sometimes just the answer of death exists and disease and all this tragic stuff exists because of sin, sometimes it's not enough, God, and I do get caught up in the why. God, help us all just to trust you in everything. God, help us to ask you for the amazing. And whether you provide for us what we think should happen or not, God, just help us to trust you in that. Help us to trust you in the amazing things you do and in the amazing pain that this world offers. Help us to have a blind faith that just follows you no matter what may come our way, God. Help us just to continue to be unshakable in this life grounded in you and have faith that just trust you even when it's so freaking hard. And God, help us to just surround each other and encourage each other when we're struggling. God, we love you so much and so look forward to the day when we're raised, glory, sin free, just rocking out, dancing with you for eternity with only love and joy surrounding us. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.